Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word today, Lord God, and Lord, we prepare our hearts now to receive from it, Lord, to receive what it is that you have for us this morning. And Lord, that our hearts would be teachable, Father, our hearts would be open to you and your word, Lord God, that, Lord, they would receive it, Father, as the oracles of God, Father, not the word of men, but your word today, Lord God. We open our hearts for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Well, we over a good number of weeks now have been seeing how the Lord has called us all to growth. Every single one of us. If you're a believer, you were called to growth. You were called to grow in the Lord. And as our topic has had us looking at, go on to maturity as believers. So important. Our last topic was in being those servants of the Lord as a part of that growth and maturity, you know, that recognize that we're blessed to be a blessing. That God does a work in our lives. He blesses us, not so that we can sit there and have a blessing party, but that we can be a blessing. Go on to being in service for him. Not just for us, but for him, for a service in this kingdom. And we have that catchphrase that we use here at Victory Life Broom: God's gifts are not to us, but through us. Amen. And there, you know, what meaning that it's for others. God wants that blessing in our life, that gift in our lives being exercised for the benefit of others. We should seek the Lord about the giftings that are on our life. And of course, the thrill of operating in our giftings and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that we see God's ability working through our own lives to bring blessing to someone. And we, through practice, and again, it's through practice, we develop a sensitivity to the way that the gift from God operates and functions through us to serve others. I love that about the old church back there in Vic Park. I love that about that. There was many areas of ministry where you could get involved. And each time was an exercise in learning how the Spirit of God was moving in that particular area and just gaining an understanding. You see, you can sit in church and look, we welcome it. You know, we like to see seats filled, particularly the front row. You can sit in church, but I tell you, it's a blessing when you get up and start serving others and finding a way or a manner to do that. You know, perhaps that's what this is reserved for, the people that will serve. I don't know what God has in mind, but it's just a mystery to me, you know. Oh, the front row's empty again. That's what we're about. And again, you know, we understand that that's a learning progress. People are a process. People are coming to understand what giftings are on their life. And we did a survey about the motivational giftings. And of course, we've seen that gifts chart that's up there. The gifts of the Spirit. You know, you've got the gifts of the Spirit, the motivational gifts. We looked at those, a little survey available. But we're really just focusing just at the moment on those what known as the fivefold ministry gifts, and we've touched in on that so far. The leadership gifts are given by God, not so believers have someone to look up to or someone to tell us what to do. That's not what they're there for, okay? Just in case you had that misconception. But they're given by God so that they can equip the church. And I want us to be reminded of that. Fivefold leadership gifts are for equipping. And we must not lose sight of that. Ephesians 4 says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping. Notice that word, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You know, that word ministry is service. That's what they're there for. That's what we come for, is to get that equipping. And for the building up of the body of Christ, because that's our job. Building up the body of Christ together. Amen. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen. Now that, notice that word, again, equipping, is that Greek word, katartismos, and of course it means a bringing to a condition of fitness. It speaks of a perfecting. Think of going to the gym. I once went to the gym. I had, 20 sessions with a personal trainer. I tell you what, it hurt. But this personal trainer, after 20 sessions, said, you know what, I haven't quite got you to where I need to get you. And I believed him. He said, there's some areas that I need to perfect. Okay. And, you know, I tell you, there's some analogies here to how a pastor would really like to work in people's lives if they're given permission. I'd just like to perfect a few areas, you know. And this personal trainer said, well, Rosemary had 20 sessions as well, but she wasn't using hers. So he said, he said, why don't we use Rosemary's? And I talked to Rosemary about it, and she was in. She says, yeah, you use those, darling, that'd be good for you. So off I went, and I used her 20 sessions. And those 20 sessions over the next few weeks just took me to another level, to the point where my trainer, because it was like a gym that had lots of trainers, you know, you only went in there if you had a personal trainer. And he, what they would do is they'd compete. This is my guy, this is my trainer, and he'd say, guys, watch, Pete, give me 100 squats. And he got me to the point where I could sit there and do 100 squats. Boom, boom. He'd give me 50, and then he'd say, give me another 50. And he's sitting there going, you know, as the personal trainer going, this is what I can do. And, you know, I was amazed because he perfected me a little bit more. And we ought to look for that for our trainers in our life, just to get us to another level, to pick us up from where we are. And we understand we're all not where we're going. You know, we're making progress, but we should look and seek for that further perfecting or equipping. What we should see going on in local churches is that equipping, that perfecting, that fitness, that increase, God's people being perfected, brought to that condition of fitness. And, you know, you could find in our last teaching in this series on the church website where we looked at the way that the level of equipping that you receive is always based on the level of relationship that you choose to go to with your leadership, with that fivefold ministry. The level of relationship with the fivefold gift that God has placed in your life. Now, I say this, you won't get that in your favourite YouTube teacher. If you've got a favourite YouTube teacher or someone that you like to watch online or out there on Facebook, the reason being is they cannot speak into your life. They can speak the word, they can speak ministry, they can speak wisdom, they can do all those things, and God bless them for doing it, but they can't speak into your life. They can't get in your grill and talk to you about stuff going on. And that's so needful, so helpful for us, and particularly when it's done in love. I came across a family in our days in country Queensland. We were church planting over there, and lovely people, country people are lovely people, amen? We're country people, by the way, amen. But they were fencing contractors, I think, and it was very much a rural setting of, you know, cowboys and the whole cowboy hat, and that was the area that we lived in. Loved it, you know, people, great big belt buckles, you know, and we were hanging with those kind of people as well. It was really a lot of fun. But this particular family were lovely, and they came and visited church, and they invited us over for a barbecue one time, and the father of the family made it very clear to me that he didn't need a pastor. He felt he didn't need a pastor in his life. He didn't need a fivefold gift. Quoted from 1 John about not needing that anyone teach him. 1 John chapter 2 has a little verse there, and if you read it there, it's in the context of the anointing teaching you. And he felt that that was applicable to him, and therefore outdid the need for a fivefold leadership gift that he received from. I thought it was very sad, loved the guy, but of course a wall went up when it came to that fivefold leadership relationship, and it was sad to see. So as far as I was concerned, they'd misinterpreted that verse, because the verse actually talks about, you know, having that ability of the Holy Spirit to teach you, particularly concerning false teaching. Amen. So what we're talking about is fivefold leadership gifting that is commissioned by God in the local church. And I want us just today to look at church leadership structures. Okay? Let's just consider that this teaching today is probably more informational than it is inspirational. Okay, so from this point on, you might need to put your goosebumps on hold. Okay, just a little bit while we touch in on some practical things and things that you probably haven't been explained and need to be understood and explained. You see, you can go all over the world, you can visit churches, and you will find different leadership structures. Okay, that fair enough? Everyone believe that? You go anywhere. You can even go to some of the other local churches in town and find different leadership structures. You will find churches that are democratic in their leadership structure, ruled by people for the people. That's the best way to describe that. Effectively a member in that type of church, a member in the congregation, eventually get to the point where they get to have a vote in what goes on around the church. Most things that relate to the life of the church. It's a congregational governance model. And I'll just bring it up so you can sort of see it there. That congregational governance model is what we're looking at. And as a member, you get to vote on anything from choosing the colour of the new carpets to employing a new pastor. But you get, say, Sister Mabel, who attends a congregational governance church model, okay, or type of church, who in her twilight years has come to believe that purple is her favourite colour. Fair enough. Each one to their own. But in the congregational governance church, she gets to suggest that the colour of the new carpet that's being put into the youth room should be purple. And hopefully she would get voted out of that decision, you know. As would be the colourblind pastor, would probably get voted out, you know, if there was a colourblind pastor in the church, amen, everyone that knows. You know, something very important for us to understand and get this, that a fivefold leadership governance model is theocratic. What that means is that the Lord leads. The role of the appointed fivefold leadership is to discern God's voice, to discern what God's saying, discern God's direction, and move in that direction and bring God's people with them. That's the value of the fivefold leadership structure. And of course, you know, there's a business board. You know, our governance structure here at Victory Life Broome is aligned to the theocratic model of governance, which effectively says the Lord leads, and of course, we're to follow his voice. And the business board adds accountability and transparency to the financial expenditure, okay? So there's a transparency within that board. What makes the theocratic model safe for the congregation is that you would always expect that the fivefold leadership is aligned to the Word of God and not in contradiction to what we know is in the Bible. So very important, not in contradiction. And where there's that little bit of maybe question of that, you talk it out with the fivefold leadership. You actually talk to them directly about that. Here at Victory Life Broome, the pastoral leadership is, you know, of the church is based on that fivefold leadership gifting, which is initially appointed, and just hear me out, initially appointed to the role by our business board. Okay, the business board gets to be a part of that selection process and employ that fivefold leadership person. But then, get this, is commissioned into that role. They're commissioned into the role by fivefold ministers to lead the church. Now, most importantly, then allowed to lead the church. So there's a, you know, an appointment and an understanding that there's a fivefold gift in operation, and they're allowed to lead the church. So we're not having subcommittees that are doing this, or subcommittees that are telling the pastor what they should be doing, that the pastor leads. And there's a great understanding about that. Just so you know, the business board and its board members of our own incorporated association, and some people think that because we've got the Victory Life name, that Pastor Margaret down in Perth is our, you know, at the leader, and she's kind of like my boss, etc. And that's not the case at all. We are at a independent, locally governed church, and of course that's important for most people to know. As much as I look to Pastor Margaret for leadership, I look to her for that apostolic anointing that's upon her life, and I look to that and I receive from that. Our governance is local and very much established by our own means. But our incorporated association is our official organisation that the Australian government regulates, and it's the official standing that we have as a legal entity, is that governance. And we have rules to follow, standards to comply with, but the Church Business Board, when it meets, is focused on the financial, the physical aspects of the organisation. You know, its property and the buildings, the equipment, maintenance, all of those things. It's not the pastoral leadership of the church. So when you think of a board member, don't think of them as being a pastoral leadership figure. That's not their role. Okay, it's there for the physical, side of the, you know, the church building. In fact, what's good on those types of boards is business people that have an understanding of where to get a good quote for this, or, you know, an experience on those kind of things. They're not there as a pastoral leadership. Now, some churches have that, where all the people on the board are like pastoral leaders. But in this church, we have a fivefold leadership. And that's Pastor Rosemary and myself. Pastor Rosemary's currently in the crying room, listening to the sermon, I think, and with all the children. You know, that's that ministry gift going on. That role of pastoral leadership is fulfilled by myself and Pastor Rosemary. Now, here's the thing that we're just going to go on and sort of just speak on for a minute. Rosemary and I were commissioned into this pastoral leadership role here at Victory Life Broome in October 2015. Prayed into the role by other fivefold leadership. Pastor Mark, Pastor Kerry, that was the commissioning. We did it right here. That was a commissioning service, all right? And not an ordination service. I think Rosemary and I, if we were to count them correctly, we've had 4 commissioning services over 30 years of ordained ministry. So we've actually had 4 of them. And those commissionings are into a role and a function in leadership. Called to go and do something. It's almost like being sent on a missionary trip, if you like, to fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. We were ordained as pastors in 1991, and yet... And here's the point. You get ordained once. Okay? You only get ordained once. But you might have many commissionings. Commissioned into different areas of service. This is important for people to understand because it's not really clear sometimes how leadership occurs and how that functions. For a pastor to be in leadership at Victory Life Broome, they must be commissioned to be in that role. That's through the senior minister, either ordaining them or commissioning them into a pastoral role. That is always done publicly, and of course with the whole church being a witness to it. It doesn't come by being once ordained as a pastor somewhere else. Okay? So make that clear. Now, here's the question, and I just probably want to, in some respects, just honour pastors that are here today. How many ordained pastors do we have in the house this morning? You were ordained once somewhere else. Can I get a hand up? Pastor Sam? Pastor Stuart? And you're ordained as well? Pastor June? So that, yep, they were putting their hands up too, by the way. So Pastor June as well. So that was the, and Rosemary should be putting up her hand as well. So we've got, oh yes, and Pastor Tash. Okay, so we understand that an ordination has occurred, but commissioning is where the leadership comes in. So you can have the gift on your life, but it's been commissioned, in other words, activated in that location. So for Rosemary and I, it was activated here by the last pastor, and another pastor who was representing Victory Life International came up as well. So we have that. We have that understanding. Now, I've also been between commissionings. I had one commissioning, and that finished, that came to an end, and then waiting for another commissioning. I've had that happen. I know that time, I know that season. And so pastors that are not currently commissioned are, what I very courteously and recognise to be true, is they're between commissionings. And the reason I say that is because God's gift and calling is without repentance. That's what the Word of God says. Just because you're not working in your, you know, commissioned to operate in that gifting, it's just a matter of time before God commissions you again, somewhere, someplace. Is that okay? Is that okay to understand? So we have, you know, an appreciation of how that works. And, you know, you'll find that that works whether you're in Victory Life churches or in other Pentecostal churches. You'll probably see the same pattern actually in operation. So, you know, you can have a fivefold leadership gift on your life and be between commissionings, so that you get commissioned into leadership roles as God calls you to different job roles, perhaps in different churches. I was commissioned from pastoring in Queensland, came back to Perth, and was commissioned into leading the Bible College down there. And that was a season that God called us to, commissioned us into it, got prayed for by the leadership to fulfill that role and function. And the anointing came to do it. And I believe that's those anointings that come upon us as we're prayed into those roles and commissioned into those roles. That's very, very important. Because the last thing you want to do is be in a self-appointed leader. All right? Self-appointed fivefold. I'm this. I'm that. You know, you don't need a badge. You can just go around and tell people that you are. But without the gifting, guess what? It's a nightmare. No recognition, no appreciation for the gift. You can't be self-appointed into those roles. Look to be under a leadership that can recognise a gift on your life and say that's a calling and look to bring about an ordination and therefore a commissioning as well. So we see in Acts chapter 13, now Paul and Barnabas are recognised by fivefold leaders, okay, they're getting called by God and getting commissioned by men through the laying on of hands as a confirmation of that calling and mandate from God, okay? It's so very important. And we see it here. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which you have called them." And after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Paul's first missionary journey is what that's called. You can read about it in the book of Acts and see what Paul and Barnabas did in their first missionary trip. They go to even government officials, and one of them has a little aide called Elymas, and Sergius is the proconsul, and quite an interesting little read there if you read on. But this guy was actually trying to influence Sergius away from listening to Paul, and of course Paul ministers to him, and he's struck blind. He struck blind, that guy, right straight away by his activity. And of course the takeaway is this: don't mess with the missionary man, you know. Don't mess with that guy. Don't mess with the person called of God, because there's an authority to stop things and hold things up. And of course, very much an apostolic gifting in function that establishes church, puts things in order. That's that apostolic function in operation. And it's been said that in the church in Jerusalem, that the church that was in Jerusalem was a gathering church, whereas Antioch was a sending church. And I believe it's important. It's good to be a sending church. Wherever you can get yourself involved with a sending church is a good thing, where your building of the kingdom comes to raising up not just sons and daughters. We believe in raising up sons and daughters, but also fivefold ministry gifts. Always looking to raise up fivefold ministry gifts and sending them also to fulfill the calling that's on their lives, and of course for kingdom building activities. And it's only as the Lord leads. You just can't do it. You know, you just can't. You know, I might decide that I like Dan. You're a good bloke. I like you. Why don't you come on down the front? We'll ordain you. And then we'll send you off into, you know, somewhere else, you know. I'd like to do that. Dan would probably be in as well, you know. But what I'm saying is I can't do that. I can't just pick someone that I like and ordain them. It has to be as God leads. It has to be as he lifts up and raises people up. And he'll let you know when he's doing it. He'll let the fivefold leadership know when he's doing that. It's not something that you can just do because someone likes the idea of having the badge. In fact, we don't even have badges here, do we? No, you know. So, you know, that's nothing to look forward to because we don't have badges. So, but what we do recognise is that when you are fivefold leadership, you have an anointing on your life. You have an ability given by God to fulfil the call on your life. And that's a wonderful thing. But we'll just look at Acts chapter 14. Verse 21, it says this: "And they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples." Making disciples is always the focus, okay? Not having many churches, but having many disciples. And it says that then they returned. So they did a bit of a loop, as you'll see there. They came out from Antioch up into those places in Pisidian and Iconium, and then back again through Derbe, Lystra. And as they went strengthening the churches. And it says strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. And then it says, we must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Verse 23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in every church, praying and fasting as they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they believed. As they went, they appointed elders. We would say, we believe, that those elders were actually other fivefold ministers. It wasn't another little layer of leadership that sat somewhere under the fivefold leadership group. It wasn't a group of, you know, sort of mature people, elders. No, if you look at the word, the word speaks of, you know, overseers, people that were fivefold. You know, it was like, we're overseers. Let me just say that the biblical pattern was that elders were not that next level of leadership. Biblically, elders were another name for pastors or fivefold leadership. Biblically, elders were not the people that end up on the board. That's not elders, okay? So you can have business people that end up on the board and you wouldn't necessarily go up and start calling them Elder Bill or Elder this or, you know, etc. So it gets a bit misconstrued. And, of course, you can go into other settings and they'll go, no, we have an eldership board and it's our eldership board that do all the hiring and firing and they're in control of the church, etc., etc. And so, again, it's a slightly different structure. But here's the thing. God has given gifts to the fivefold leadership. And I say, wherever God's given the gift, let them lead. Let them be those ones that are called to lead as he leads, you know, as they follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, there's an example of fivefold leadership. And, you know, let's all recognize that the goal of every church should be the same. It's to make disciples, to lift up people who are disciplined in their walk with God, disciplined in the ways that they follow him. You know, those mature sons and daughters that we talk about. Let's be the people that focus on God's purposes for our life. You know, he wants us to go on to maturity and understand that God has placed and provided for each and every single one of us to go on in maturity. You know, gifts given for us to lift up and go to those new places of maturity. Why don't we pray this morning and ask the Lord a blessing? We're going to finish a little early. And of course, being school holidays, all those looking after little kids would say amen. So, hallelujah. Father, we again thank you for this time together today, Father. And we thank you, Father, for Lord, a sense of your church, Lord God, and how you've provided for your church. How you have gifts in place, Lord God, for the building up of your church, Lord God, for the work of ministry, Father, the equipping of the saints, Lord God. We thank you for the gifts. Lord, we thank you for the pastoral gifts that are here today, Lord God. Lord, not just those ones that have been commissioned, but those that have been ordained, Father. We declare today, Father God, what you have started in them, Father God, will have its fulfillment, Father. Lord, we thank you for the gift and the anointing, Lord God, that operates and functions to a certain degree, Lord God, wherever it can, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we give you praise and thanks today in Jesus' name for every gift in this house, motivational gift, the gifts of the Holy Spirit as they function and operate, Lord. And Lord, most of all, your ministry into our hearts. Lord, we give you thanks for that today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.